Hey, that's my song, you guys. Mi Corazón, produced by Aaron McLendon. Go stream Mi Corazón wherever you stream your favorite music. And now here we are at your one-stop shop for all things balancing creativity, spirituality, and entrepreneurship. Let's go. What's up, guys? It's Andrew Velasquez with another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. Thank you so much for being here with us today and continuing this new journey that I'm on. I'm so excited. Just want to remind you really quick to subscribe. And if you really enjoy this podcast, leave us a review. That way others like yourself can have an opportunity to find this in their algorithm. And I would be forever grateful if you can just kindly give us the stars, the reviews, and follow us on Instagram at Mindful Artist Podcast. And today, for our second episode with what's technically the third episode, but second with a guest, I am so excited to have a special, special, special person that I've known for such a long time that I look up to, that has basically mentored me as well throughout my career. And I mean, she's just a hero. She's just all the things that this podcast represents. And I can't stop talking about her. So I'm just going to go ahead and introduce her, you guys. Melanie Mills. Emmy award-winning makeup artist, Melanie Mills is one of Hollywood's leading makeup artists, beauty consultants, and educators known for her glamorous flair, talent, and vivacious personality. Melanie's love affair with glitter and glam started early on, influenced by the women in her life, her vibrant great-grandma, her jazzy grandma, and her stylish mom. With more than 25 years of industry experience, Melanie is a master of her craft and an expert in a variety of media, including television, film, and editorial. Melanie is known for her work on Dancing with the Stars, The Real, and Nickelodeon shows, including iCarly, Henry Danger, Victorious, amongst others. Melanie has won 2 Emmy Awards for her outstanding makeup design in 2008 for Dancing with the Stars, and later for outstanding makeup design in for 2021 for The Real. Melanie's superior talent has earned her a total of 21 career Emmy nominations, including 2 double nominations. While working on Dancing with the Stars, Melanie introduced trendsetter glowing skin and statement makeup looks that were rare to be seen on television up until that time period. While on Dancing with the Stars, Melanie created her first beauty product, Gleam Face and Body Radiance, which was born out of the professional need to perfect cast body makeup for high definition and stage lighting. This revolutionary transfer-resistant multi-purpose face and body makeup perfects and illuminates the skin in 6 stunning shades. This led to launching her brand, Melanie Mills Hollywood, in 2011, which now offers illuminating shimmering powders, 18 vegan makeup brushes, a brush soap, as well as now the viral super light long-lasting setting spray, my personal favorite. Melanie released her first book, Glitter and Glam, published in 2013 by Penguin Books, which showcases her creativity vision and demonstrated the various technical skills she had mastered over the years. Featured throughout the book are celebrities including Jennifer Grey, Brandy Norwood, Liz Gales, Janet McCurdy, Ariana Grande, Daniel Monet, Avin Jogia, Natalie Coughlin, and Audrina Patridge, to name a few. Melanie has personally appeared as an expert on hit shows including The Talk, The Dr. Oz Show, Access Hollywood Live, and Hallmark's Home and Family, and in national publications including Self, Essence, Allure, Shape, InStyle, US Weekly, OK Magazine, and Red Book, among others. Following a move to Nashville in 2021, Melanie identified a need for a top-tier resource for beauty professionals in this market and opened The Makeup Altar in October of 2022 to fill the void. Catering to professional artists and beauty devotees alike, Melanie sought to bring a curated selection of her favorite products to professionals in the region, as well as to create an approachable, elevated space where consumers can explore the offerings. Equally focused on inner beauty, Melanie has also introduced an array of spiritual elements, including crystals, singing bowls, handmade candles, and incense, sage, wands, bells, and chimes. Melanie now resides in Nashville with her husband, Nick, and her daughter, Solaris. Melanie Mills is here with us today. You guys, let's give her a round of applause. Oh my God, Melanie, how are you, babe?
Oh, thank you. You're way, way, way too kind. I love you so much. We've You're a mentor to me too.
We've
Seriously.
grown up together. We were little baby, little infants born from the makeup fetus and out into the wilderness, and just here we are. How are you? Thank you so
I'm
much for
so
being
good. I'm
here.
so proud of you for getting this together. I think this is a wonderful idea. I know it's going to be successful. I'm going to
Thank
make sure
you.
to get in there and do my stars and my reviews as
I
well.
love you.
And you guys, please do, because it is so important as small business owners for these little things like stars and reviews.
100%. You said it best. So here we are, Mindful Artist Podcast, and it's such a dream come true. I had brought this idea up to Melanie while I was visiting her for a book tour, and had this amazing class at the Makeup Altar, her fantastic shop. And we kind of volleyed off each other, and it was cool. And here we are now. You're one of my guests, so it's cool. Like, I'm so grateful for the time, the knowledge, the every moment that I have with you is always so beautiful. Like, from the get-go where we met to even just most recently, it's always this really full circle for me with you, because
No, I feel the
for
same way.
some
You're like a
reason it's
brother.
like, yeah, and our lives are kind of like parallel. I mean, okay, you guys, so who's Melanie Mills? She's an amazing artist, talented author, Emmy Award winner. I mean, the bio, you already heard the bio, so the bio speaks for itself. It's fantastic. But let's start with the beginning, Melanie. Where did all this come from? Like, why, how are you who you are?
I did not grow up wanting to be an artist. I'll totally be honest with that. Like, I was a surfer chick. I lived in Thousand Oaks, California.
Yes, Valley
You
girl,
know,
just like Johnny.
yeah. I was into just like legit, you know, my biggest goal in high school was to get over the hill to the beach.
I
You know,
love it.
so really, and I really didn't wear much makeup also until like later end of high school and then starting like into the college days. I really had long curly blonde hair and just was kind of natural. I might have put some mascara on, a little eyeliner. So I was not this like makeup obsessed. I did love art. I did take like oil painting classes and lots of dance classes and theater classes. And one thing I was really into when I was young was you know, MTV, of course. And so my grandfather, my great grandfather, he helped to bring up the El Camino theater department in El Camino College down there, kind of by
What? I did not
Torrance in
know that.
California.
That's
Yeah,
super
he
dope.
actually used to be a manager, like I think it was the Egyptian. He bounced around between the Capitan, the Egyptian. That's how my great grandmother met him. She worked the box office. He managed a lot of the theater stars that then went to screen and traveled with them as like an agent in the early days, like on Train, like Tyrone, like yeah,
There's like
like
old
Tyrone,
school Hollywood.
old school Hollywood, like Tyrone Powell was like one of his clients among many. Okay, so I have
Okay,
horrible names.
you're
My
good.
grandfather was a jazz musician, lots of musicians in my family, lots of actors, lots of like that kind of thing. So I
Artists in general.
lots of artists, and my grandfather actually used to play for Eartha Kitt for a long time. I mean, he was in the scene, so definitely into it. My grandmother was very artistic, so I was, and my grandmother was very jazzy, always full face of makeup, very,
Oh, I
very,
know
like,
Grandma.
yes, very put together. So I had all that inspiration like around me. So when it was,
That's
my mom.
amazing.
Yeah, no. So one early thing where I kind of like can look back and go, ah, there was like the beginning of like an artist or a director or just in the arts was MTV. And so back to my great grandmother or great grandfather, he would put on these plays in the garage with my mom. And so I kind of wanted to do that, but modern version. And I grabbed my dad's video camera and we would replicate. And I have no idea. I have no idea where these
That's
videos are.
so cute. They
Replicate
have to be in the
videos, and
archives.
I would like direct and produce and act and whatever, and that's where I was doing some makeup and stuff, just you know. But yeah, so then cut to I graduate. My mom kind of went back to college later in life. She went to Moorpark Junior College out there in Moorpark by Simi Valley, California. I was encouraged to go there. She told me, take the humanities class. It's amazing. And they do this yearly summer trip that I really think you should do. I took the class, fell in love, took the trip with my stepdad. Actually, he went with me the first time to Italy and Greece. Fell in love. So I knew I wanted to like somehow continue those sorts of European travels, live over there, go to school over there. So I became so much in love with language. I was taking German, French, Spanish, Italian,
Okay.
all at the same time.
And
And so
have you kept them up to this day?
Italian is there. French, I
You're
never
right.
resonated with. I never
Yeah, because
resonated
your
with.
Spanish always turns into Italian.
It does. It does. And so I was raised in California, which of course, massive Spanish friends. And so I had that in there, but the real language I learned first that really I grabbed onto first was Italian. And so
That's so
the French, they
cool.
don't pronounce anything. So that language was very hard for me to learn. But no, unfortunately, I do still dream in Italian occasionally. But if you put me in Italy with a bunch of Italians only speaking Italian, believe me, in 1 week I'd be back on it. You know what I
Love
mean?
it.
But I was in love with language and just trying to find a way to how can I live in Europe? And honestly, this was the old school days of where you'd go to the language lab. I spent a lot of time in that language lab, and there was a paper on the wall that said "Live and Learn in Italy" with a freaking tab that you pull. And I called it, and I did it.
What?
And
Oh,
I
that was
just,
your first time manifesting. Look at
yep.
that.
And so I talked a girlfriend into going with me. We were the only Americans. We went to the Università di Firenze per Stranieri. And
Wow.
we were there for a year, and I made such great friends with all these Icelandics, Danish, Swedish. And so then after that, what I would do is I was a waitress at Acapulco restaurant in Simi Valley.
No
And I,
way.
yeah.
I have a fun story about really quick. Sorry to interrupt you, but I don't know if we crossed paths then, but I used to be a KJ for a quick summertime, which is a karaoke DJ at Acapulco, and I think Simi Valley was one of them. That's so funny. Sorry. I'll tell you later about that. It's nuts. It was the most fun, stupid job I ever had, and just everybody just got wasted, and I was a good DJ. I mean, I should have known then. You know what I mean? Like this. There's something with this voice. Sorry, go ahead. Continue.
You're right. You are 100% right. I can totally see you rocking it.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so I was so proud of myself. I would carry those freaking trays, Andrew, with like sizzling fajitas and a pitcher of margarita, like no freaking problem through the store or the restaurant. But
You're speaking
my
my
man
language.
my manager was so cool. So he would let me work like 3, 4 months, and then I'd save up my money. I did have a condo at the time. I was blessed. My grandmother had gifted me a condo when I was young, and so I was leasing that to make extra money. And then I'd live at home and make like, a couple bucks doing the waitressing thing. And then I'd go to Europe anywhere between 6 weeks and 4 months, depending how much money I had, and just couch surf with like all
That's
my friends all
amazing.
over Europe. It was amazing. So the last trip that I was in Milan, I went with a friend to a makeup school in Milan. It was an old nunnery. I walked in and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. You can make money doing makeup. Like it never really crossed my mind. My best friend growing up, Heidi Wilcox, her dad was Larry Wilcox on Chips, the blonde next to Eric Estrada. You know what I mean? And so my first thought was like, Larry can get me a job in the business. Oh my God, this is great. I'm gonna,
Why not?
yeah. I was like, easy peasy. I'll take this class. Nana, my benefactor, who is always so supportive of me, will help me to afford this class. I'll live in Italy and Milan again, and maybe I'll get into the fashion scene out here. So then I go home, tell my grandma about it, and she's like, oh no, the first time ever that she didn't support me in my life. And I was like shocked. She was like, this is not a woman's business, because she grew up with the old school Hollywood musicians, that everything. And she was just like, this is a brutal business. It's not a woman's business. And I was really shocked. And she was just like, what about all the other investment? What about this? And I was just like, so I'm telling my hairdresser about it. She's like, I didn't know you want to do makeup. I'm like, neither did I. And she's like, you should meet my roommate, who's a local union, makeup artist in LA. I meet them randomly a week later in a bar. We hit it off. I'm not kidding you, Andrew. A week later, she calls me and says, I just got called to, they need an intern for a film. I'm beyond it. This is perfect for you. Do it. And I'm like, I've never been to school. I've never been on a set. I've not even really, I my own personal makeup kit is like a bag, like this big. I was like, Melanie, they're so desperate to help with like powder and sweat. This is your perfect opportunity. She drove me down to Hollywood Boulevard from Thousand Oaks. They interviewed me. They asked me what my sign was. I guess being an Aquarian, just got the job. They said, show up tomorrow with a makeup tool belt at 4:12 a.m. And there it is. And I ended up interning on that film for 6 months for free. Mm-hmm. And I did, they allowed me to go to night school at Sunset and Gower Makeup Academy for 6 weeks. That's my only formal training. The hairdresser, Lori Baker, on the show then started taking me on to all these other, like, what we used to call guerrilla low-budget films, like very, very indie, non-union. We'd shoot the film in 3 weeks. We'd, you know, and then one thing just led to the other, babe. That's how
incredible.
It started.
I mean, I'm hearing a lot of support, number one. Number two, it's kind of inherited, and it's in your circle of family. Like, it's, you guys are destined to be artists in general from generation to generation, whatever capacity of artistry that means. And so it was inevitable. Like, you were just going to have to figure out. And it sounds like you've been manifesting a really long time, and you're probably
I've
not even aware of
that
it.
I'm a manifester now that I am in the space I'm in now.
Right.
I have learned that I am a manifester, and not just that though. I have a gusto. I have, like, balls. I go with my gut sometimes to a fault.
That's why gay men love you. Let's keep it real.
Sometimes it's to a truth. Fault. Sometimes I jump in head first, and then I have a lot of expensive, like, lessons and mistakes that I lessons. Let's just call them lessons, yeah. Not mistakes.
Good job. Good job.
You know, that I've learned from. But I'm a go-getter. Like, if I couldn't find a friend to travel with me when I wanted to travel, I'd go on my own. Like, I am an independent person. My parents, my mom and my stepdad, decided when I was 5 to become Mormon, which was totally trippy to my entire family. My parents at 5 years old decided to become Mormon, which was just trippy to my whole family because there was really no religion. And like, our religion was like jazz, like martinis at 5. So my great grandma was particularly annoyed because she's like, you have to pay 10% to what? Like, she was just like, what? Like, that really bothered her. So we were Mormon. I loved it until I was about 12 or 13 when I started to personally think that it was not, I didn't love a lot of the things that were being taught. So I started to rebel, and I found Wicca at the time. Because I thought it was cool. I thought it was rebellious. You know what I mean? But actually, years later, I don't necessarily call myself Wiccan, but I am. I do. I believe in metaphysics. I believe in crystals. I believe in magic. I believe in
Can you explain to our listeners what that is? That for some of us that are not aware of it.
Yeah. So Wicca is. You know, I don't really love to identify it because it's been so trashed by, like, the Christian religion as being, like, something that's evil or devilish. Right. Essentially, you know, witches are, we believe in the elements. We believe in the earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. Yep. We believe that crystals, and it is scientifically proven, hold energies. Herbs hold energies. You can concoct mixtures. You can call upon the earth. Okay. This is just going way back. This has been practiced for so many years and medicinally. I mean, so that's, like, my, like, little short version of it. But I mean, honestly, like, I feel that, you know, it's a feminine power. It's a divine femininity, basically.
Yes.
And I just believe the Bible and Christianity and Catholicism, even though I still love lots of bits of that. And I want everybody to believe in whatever the hell they want to believe in. But right. I don't believe in pushing the patriarchal crap down everybody's throat and silencing and pushing women down. Women are the mother. We are the mother. We are the earth, Gaia. So anyhow, that's what that's all about. And I really found a passion with it because, one, I just thought it was cool and different and kind of rebellious for what, you know, the Mormons believe.
Yeah.
Ironically, I will tell you, my parents, I left the church when I was about 14, 15, and they left the church a few years later. And because my mom went back to college and they had an issue with that. And she was going to take a trip to China. And they actually, the men in the church told my dad, you shouldn't allow her to do that. So then that was when that shit started to turn over and they left it. And what's funny is, like, if you bring up Mormonism to my mom, she gets this kind of, like, distant look, like, did we do that?
She blocked it out.
Yeah, so that's always been there with me, and I've just always believed in spirit and like the subconscious, like beyond the physical. So it's there, that's a really detailed thing to get into, but it is what's intertwined into my business.
Sure, 100%. A little bit makes sense to your guardians, your ancestors that have been guiding you and walking you through your journey in life and kind of installing these ideas and these, magic, basically essence of you to trust your intuition and to manifest what you want to manifest in
They're there
life.
for us all. They're there for us all,
Yeah.
and all we have to do is recognize and call on them. That's what's crazy. We all have the power to manifest. We all have the power to call upon our angels, our guides, our oracles, our goddess, our gods, whoever it is, to be there for us. And all it takes is literally a little bit of daily ritual of, first gratitude. I write down every
Yes.
things I'm grateful for. And then I write down that I recognize that my ancestors and my great ones and our angels are there for us. And then upon need, I ask for their assistance and help. And for the longest time, that was diluted because I was so insanely busy, working 70 plus hour work weeks on a set in Hollywood, and then running Melanie Mills Hollywood too. So it was like I was burning the candle at both ends, and it took COVID for me to like be all my crystals were like, "Hey, we're here for you. Just pull us out."
Wow.
And I did. A friend of mine came over. She said, "You need to get all these out, cleanse them, and start meditating again." And I did. And big shifts have changed. Big shifts have happened since then.
Okay, I
But
kind of
I,
stopped you really quick. For
yeah.
all our listeners right there, this is what I'm talking about. These moment type of dialogue is why the Mindful Artist podcast is existing. It's a safe space for all of us to learn about these different practices and different forms of spirituality that should help you and benefit you, but you have to believe it. Like you have to really just kind of give into it and follow that intuition. And so everything that Melanie Mills is saying, it resonates with me 100%. I hope it resonates with you as well, but that's your responsibility is to pick and choose from each kind of, philosophy, ideology, and make it work for you. And at that point, if you believe it, if you want to call it the placebo effect, whatever, it's going to work. And she's proof of it. I'm proof of it. And you're continuing to be proof of it. So let's talk about and where you're at today and how that even like came about because it's so special. I love that place.
Okay, so there's quite a few layers. So back to like, when I how I got into the film business. That's how I got into the film
Yes.
business. One thing led to the other. I ended up becoming union, and when COVID happened in 2000, I had completed 21 years union. So I'd been 25 years in the business, but 21 years union.
Right.
A lot of people would always tell me, okay, so then we did mention it in the bio, but I do own Melanie Mills Hollywood Cosmetics, and that was born on the set of Dancing with the Stars. So I was running the set of Dancing with the Stars, or the set, the show. I created the look for the show. The team that's even still there was the team that I hired. And out of a need, because the sunless the dancers, the pro dancers were so into sunless tanning that their skin was so dehydrated and streaky and all these crazy colors. And here we are, like 31 million viewers. It was like one of the most top shows at the time.
Right.
And a lot of skin showing. And we went from a very dull makeup era, like I like to say, like the Friends era, like a demi wispy lash was like woo, and
Right.
like
Yeah.
and like a red lip was like whoa, and like you did everything to fight glitter and glow on camera. It was dull, you know what I mean? And so I really had a passion in bringing out like glamour, like editorial glamour mixed with the ballroom idea of glamour
Love it.
to, TV, which I accomplished. And we stacked on lashes, we piled on glitter, we piled on glow. So when it came to the body, it needed the glow too, but there just wasn't much available on the market that wouldn't stain or transfer or just itself look too glittery or just not give enough coverage. So out of literally a need, because it was like a bane of my existence on the show, because I was fighting with producers and wardrobe and all, it was a headache, let's just put it that way, body makeup. And so out of need, I just started mixing a whole bunch of different products and testing it right there live on freaking live television with these people. And finally, the pro dancers, after about a year, you know, were like, oh my God, Mel, this is it. We're gleaming. And they're the ones that gave me the idea of like Gleam. So that's how Gleam Face and Body Radiance was born. And now we're in our 13th year. It hit the shelves in 2011. And that's been a wild ride. I had a very huge vision of it to become like a Laura Mercier, a Charlotte Tilbury, you know, one of those, right? And I kind of got close a couple times, but just in reflection, it just wasn't meant to be. It's like a freaking beast. Owning a brand is a beast. And I remember a lot of people saying, your problem is that you're not letting go of the film business, the TV business, you know, you're too spread thin. But I was like, but you don't understand. I'm almost 20 years in, and the pension is super important. And what if Melanie Mills Hollywood falls apart? There's no pension there. And to get out of the business and back in is very, very tough. And so I just didn't want to let that go. Plus, it also was important that I was still working on celebrities and hit shows to sell the product too. You know what I mean? So it was a conundrum. It was hard. And I did take some time off here and there, and, you know, some couple blocks of time throughout. But doing the trade shows, this is how it's leading to the shop. You have your own little pop-up shop at the trade show, right? It's like your own little store in a way amongst a bunch of shows within a trade show. And I loved that. And I just thought, oh, it'd be cool to have a Melanie Mills Hollywood shop one day. So that was always in the back of head. Plus, my mom and dad, when I was younger, owned a Hallmark store. And I used to work it like 11 years old. Okay. I remember this story. And I loved it. I loved like being in the shop by myself or with my best friend who I like got to work with me. And I loved like redoing the shelves and, you know, wrapping up the gifts and I just loved it. So that was always kind of there. Yeah. And then, towards the end of, before I left the film business, which was my very last day, was literally March 13th, 2020, 2 days before everything shut down. And I was getting incredibly bitter at work. I was getting very bitter with not seeing the sunrise, not seeing the sunset. You know, because I wanted so badly to be an Emmy winning top echelon makeup artist in the business. You know, I have a daughter. And so I remember people saying like, how do you do it with your daughter? And I'm like, you just do it. You just do it. Just like a doctor or a nurse or a lawyer that works these kind of hours, or a firefighter, you just do it. Right. And then you just train your kid. Like this is what it is. You know, luckily I did have my mom, my grandma. I was married. I went through a brutal divorce. And then my love, Nick, came into the picture.
Yeah.
Best dad ever. So I had a lot of support for her. And to this day, I still feel a ton of guilt about a lot of the time that I missed, but it is what it is, right? She's also got my work ethics and she's an amazing girl.
She's a boss.
I was there, even though I wasn't there. It was hard. It was very, very hard. So anyways, towards the end there, I was starting to get kind of bitter. Like I was with the hours, with the politics, with the stupid bullshit. Like, oh, I put on a hot pink lip on this actress. And now my boss wants to like, be like, eh, let's have a discussion about the hot. It's like, oh my God, like this is such comedy. I can't even go on like with this anymore. So like things like that. Other things started to really weigh on me. For example, I had to go euthanize our cat that was 18 years old. And then I had to go back to fucking work, you know, like to go sit on the set so everybody else could go home. So I could sit there till 2 a.m. watching a couple of actors that anybody else could have done. It's a brutal business. Yeah. It's a great business, but the film and TV business is brutal. Okay. Yeah. So towards the end, I can't tell you, there were a couple times that I'm on the set and in my head, I was like, I just want to pack up my stuff right now and leave. I just want to pack it up and just be bye. But of course I never did. Okay. So then COVID happens. I'm 47. I'm looking at my friends who are 60, 65, 70, still grinding, still working, still, you know, they have to, they can't afford to even live off the pension actually.
Right.
So, you know, that was a really good time for me because also Melanie Mills Hollywood took a really huge hit. So you say, how could that have been a good time? But in reflection, it was. So I had just scored QVC UK. I'd been trying to get on QVC, either US or UK, for years. And they wanted me, but the UK version had Westmore, and she had a deal where no other body makeup could compete. So she went to Gunther Rinker. When that happened, they called me and they're like, we can finally get you in. We spent 2 years creating what they were going to create, almost like an O'Malley or like a Laura Geller, right? That was the idea, right? Over there. And so I redid the packaging of my entire line. I invested heavy in this. And of course, even if it all went fabulous, it doesn't mean it could have, right? But I felt it. They felt it. We all felt good. I was booked for the whole year of 2020. It was a big deal, especially UK, because I had to have a UK site, a UK team, a UK shipping center, like get all the shit over there, plan for a full year of like growth on the show. I mean, it was a big deal. And of course, I was set to air April of 2020. And so it we got through it. I do it via Skype. You can't launch a new American line in the middle of a pandemic, especially when the first offering is a leg makeup for holiday, because you have to like pre-arrange all your offerings well in advance. You can't just really switch it up. And so nobody wanted leg makeup with a brush in April of 2020. I mean, you know what I mean? But we sold through it. We did, but they could not commit to any of the rest of the commitments. There was talk of, you know, let's just let this ride out and then let's get you back on. But unfortunately, the team that believed in me, they ended up moving and dispersing. So it is what it is. So that was a huge financial hit. Then the film business essentially shutting down. That was another huge financial hit. I had one other financial thing that took a huge hit. Andrew, can I tell you that Nick and I did Instacart? Okay. Like we would do whatever it took. And this is one thing that I have an issue with when I see people, for example, with the recent strike in Hollywood, people that are skilled, that are kind of like sitting there, just sitting there,
Waiting.
waiting for the business to start again. I'm like, oh my God, you could be doing Grubhub, you could be doing Instacart, you could be doing like I have a friend who's a tarot reader, you could be reading freaking cards. Like
There are so many
what
options. There's so much work out there.
But it's ego. Okay. So back to like the rebirth, okay, as I call it, when I pulled out the crystals again and I started meditating again and I started really getting deep into the core, what is really, really muddy in there? Ego.
Yeah,
Ego. And
there you
it
go.
really can muddy everybody. Okay. So it's like, it's good to have ego because it's a drive, but then like, you know, it's just it's crazy. I did not want the film business to define me. I didn't want to be that 60, 70-year-old person that didn't feel like they had a life outside of the film business because they didn't have anything to brag about. You know what I mean? Like I see that with a lot of my friends. And so I just and I and then I started really thinking about it. I don't want to do these hours for another 15 years because retirement's what, 60, 62, 65, and here I was 47. I'm like, I've been doing this for already 25 years. It's been fabulous. I've loved my career, but I cannot see it for another 10, 15, 20 years. I'll die. It'll kill me.
It's that balance, right? It's finding that right balance because the human in general is not going to exist without the ego. Like, right, kind of is a little bit of a drive. However, if you find a balance with your soul, which is always in there, and that's the real you, that's going to guide you even more without letting the ego get in the way. So I'm so proud of you to be able to like recognize that and have that awareness for it. So for all the listeners, like, listen up. That's how do you separate that? How are you following the soul, which for Melanie was meditation. For me, it's talking to my mom and
Well,
my
it was also
ancestors.
family, boo. It was family too, you know, at the real core. You know, I you think in the film business and in probably lots of other work environments, especially in the film business, because you're spending like 14, 15, 16, 17-hour days with people, so you really truly feel like they're like your best friends and your family. And like a lot of industries, people like either act like your friend or your family because they want something from you. You know what I mean? So it's like they want the gig, they want the introduction, they want the free products, they want the whatever it is, they want. There's always what I started to find and what started to gross me out about LA is it was just, what can you give me? What can you give me? I'm your best friend. I'm your best friend until you don't have anything else to offer me. You know, I'll be
Because
honest.
they're living off of ego, and that's attracting something else that's gonna benefit them. It's dark and light. when I see it too, like in energy, it's dark and light energy.
And I had so many letdowns because I'm a super generous person. I truly actually did love these people and really included them in family parties, family events. We all had our kids together. And, you know, for example, when I left Dancing with the Stars, which, by the way, I was fired from Dancing with the Stars, which was gnarly. I had connected myself so hard with that show. And it was very rare. We met
because of that show.
Well, right. Yeah, but because, you know, it was like literally with my book, Glitter and Glam. Originally, while I was still on that show, when I got the book deal, originally it was almost going to be a guide of makeup for Dancing with the Stars. And then when that happened, it shifted to my vision, which is awesome.
The book is beautiful. I own a few copies and gave some to my family as well. I love it. And inspired me to make one of my own. So thank you for doing that.
And I was so excited to be a part of that journey for you. And your book is absolutely amazing. Everybody's got to get your book too.
Thank you.
And yeah, but being fired from Dancing with Stars was gnarly. I mean, talk about like I felt crushed. I felt like I died almost. And luckily I was already in the little Nickelodeon niche because and I had some really good friends in there supporting me. Because Hollywood shut the door on me, boo. Literally, everybody shut all my girlfriends, the girls, as we called ourselves on that show that I gave so much work to for so many years, not just that show either, shut the door on me. My kit was stolen. I mean, I was at the time making my 3-car garage into our shipping center for Melanie Mills Hollywood at the house. And so my entire, like at that time, 15-year career worth of makeup, which I had been given so much makeup to support all these like runway shows that I was doing, fashion shows, huge reality shows, competition shows, sketch comedy shows. I had my tattoo kit from back in like the 90s. Those were the real, like where we used to have to use them like with the speed stick and paint them on with like, you know, inks and stuff. Like there was no transfers then.
Right.
I had that kit, my mustaches, all the stuff. I had my whole freaking kit in my trailer because I owned a makeup trailer that I would rent to the studios, which at the time was being rented to Dancing with the Stars.
That's so cool.
Because I needed all that stuff like out of the garage. Can I tell you that half of that was stolen by the person, I won't even get into names, that took it over. So it's like, and I remember my union president going, Melanie, let it go. You have so much. And it was just, it was heartbreaking. I was bitter and heartbroken, Andrew, up until literally the end there even, and realized that I've got to let this shit go.
It was like, toxic.
So toxic, so heartbreaking, so all these things, you know, but like I said, luckily I did have my little Nickelodeon world to like get into, and I was there for 15 years and I had Melanie Mills Hollywood that I kept trying, you know, to build and do and grow. So when COVID happened and it all collapsed, and then I had a beautiful home in LA that I loved so much that I was very tied to the heart. We had to sell the house to get out of all of the debt. Right. And that was a really hard pill to swallow, but it was my faith. It was the daily meditations of digging super deep with the guidance of just all the elements that we have available to us. And on one of those days, I was like, where do we go? We'd been wanting to get out of LA for a while, but we kept looking at places where I could still fly or drive into work, which would have been ridiculous. But, and one day it hit me. It was literally as if they said to me, just like a train, like screaming it at me, Nashville. So we had never been to Nashville. Wow. We didn't know anybody here. We had been wanting to get out. We needed to get out of LA because even though we did have a little money left over from the sale of the house, it wasn't enough to live the way that I want to live in LA. I also have my daughter, 2 dogs, my dad living with us, a shipping center. I have a lot going on to handle, you know? So it's like, so we freaking, I knew an actress that just moved here. She referred me to a realtor. She showed us around. We spent about a week and a half out here. And down the street from where the shop is right now, a beautiful November day, actually, lunch, sitting there. And I looked at Nick and Nick said, this feels good. And I said, let's just fucking do it. And so we rented a house down the street. We left my dad in LA with our office manager and the shipping center. I said, we're going to give this 1 year. I didn't want to move it all to maybe not like it or, you know.
Sure.
And We did not know we were going to own a shop. In the back of my head, I was like, there's tons of celebrities in Nashville. I'm sure I'll end up doing like makeup for celebrities, even though I really didn't want to. Okay. But that in the back of my head, I'm like, there's that though, you know? But we spent the year just like cozying up as a family, just Nick Solaris and I, like, you know, with the dogs and just like she was going to school online and we were cooking and gardening and walking and getting out in nature and the community and all the community events they have here. You know, even though Nashville is bigger than it was like say 5 years ago and they all complain about it, it's still quite a small town, 600,000 people compared to LA, 13 million. And when we first moved in, we every single neighbor, Andrew, even the ones behind us came over to introduce themselves and make sure we all had each other's numbers, you
I
know, like
love
in LA,
that.
I knew one neighbor, you know.
Some really great takeaways that I have to point out is that difficult time of rejection and loss and abandonment and hitting a low basically is, I think it's part of the process of our evolution as artists and creative people. Again, why I wanted to create my full artist podcast. So I feel, and I'm so happy for you now that you're reflecting and you're aware, and I'm proud that you can recognize that had to happen. Those rock bottoms, those lows, the ceiling of your kit, your trailer, all that kind of stuff. If that didn't happen and the universe didn't like shake your head and say, get out of here, let it go, like they were shifting you. Does that make sense? And then you hear and you meditate and you're balanced and you're leading your life through soul. And now you're hearing the words clearly, Nashville. And now you're so bright and light and alive. And your home is beautiful there. I'm so grateful that I was able to stay there and have something that's very special to me, part of my culture, a Dia de los Muertos class at your new home. Like, again, just full circle. And we're supposed to be on these paths. We're supposed to be kind of like parallel. We're both in the South now, living our dreams, sharing the magic light from Hollywood into the South and representing, you know what I mean?
And I feel
And
like we're in the South for a reason because they need us.
100%, 100%.
There's a
We're
lot
here
of
to
that
shake shit up.
first.
We're here to shake shit up and have some awareness, have some healthy conversations about inclusivity, diversity, celebrating all cultures, all walks of life. You guys know I call you my kings and queens and all in betweens. Like, this is it. Like, this is your time to shine. This is why we're creating Mindful Artist Podcast. So share that light wherever you go into any space that you are experiencing, period. You know what I mean? So
Yeah, and that's what the shop is all about, community. I realized once here the lack of community of real of people that don't care what you do, okay? They like you because they like you know, and we have a good time. It's not what I
It's
can
human to
offer
human
them.
interaction.
Yeah, it's not what I can offer them. It's not about like some free millennials Hollywood. It's not I can get them on this gig. I can introduce them.
I'm
No,
gonna
I
turn this
came
fan
here.
off really quick.
Yeah.
Sorry, that fan was like, it's making my throat. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I couldn't. Okay, yeah. So yeah, so you know, when the way the shop came about is it was kind of okay, so Millennials Hollywood was still trucking along. I thought that it was going to collapse. And then Rose Syard of Rose and Ben on Instagram did a video where she put a bunch of makeup on her face, sprayed it with my setting spray, did a little, you know, blah blah with the thing, and nothing came off, and it went viral and sold out in 2 days. So that was a huge blessing, and that revived Melanie Mills Hollywood. And so I was still working on it. I was doing blogs. I was doing anything and everything I can to keep that sucker afloat during that era of COVID. And you know, it was hard, but at the same rate, I wasn't working too hard, you know. For the first time ever, I didn't have alarms going off at 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning. You know, it was just so, it's just so nice. And so when it was time to kind of get into like real, you know, more get back to making some more money, even though Melanie Mills Hollywood was doing good and revived, we still needed, you know, some plus income. So I was like, well, I guess I got to break out the old kit. And my friend Neil out here, who does Reba McEntire, I said, where's the pro makeup store? He said, we don't have one. And I swear to God, Andrew, bam. And I have, as you saw when you stayed at the house, I have a whole room. I call it the Zen room, the Zen den. It's like totally dedicated to all the crystals. I have
It's
a
beautiful.
rotating working altar. I try to spend every morning in there and often nights and do a bunch of just meditations and stuff in there. And I thought, but I would do store I would do these vision boards, and I had like a home. Of course, home was very big on it, but also I did actually put a little picture of a shop on the last one.
Nice.
Still thinking kind of Melanie Mills Hollywood, some sort of idea with makeup. And then like when I heard there was no professional makeup store, it was like, oh my God, that's it. And then it was like, okay,
Can you?
makeup. And then if I'm going to be in a shop all day, I need my altar, makeup, altar. To me, the two went hand in hand, and bam. I mean, it happened.
I mean,
And just like
bravo.
I became a make just how I became a makeup artist, things just fell like bam. Like literally the name, register it. I was on the hunt for a house shop. I wanted to be in Five Points. One month later, bam. It was under construction.
Incredible.
It did take a while, but and it's funny, I have so much love for the community. So this is all about the professional makeup artist community. It's about the love for the men and women within the community that, want better advice and expertise for their makeup choices and how to, like, especially with mature women and especially with guys wanting to be femme, whether they're straight, gay, or trans. And it's not a drag makeup, it's a femme makeup, and they're very scared out here. And I'm so proud to be a safe place for them. And just the women, I get a lot of the 40 plus that just don't know what to do with themselves anymore. You know what I mean? And then it's a guarded professional community out here. And I love that we have these like free artist mixers where just let's all just get together. Makeup artist masterclasses. We're stronger together. Community, community. So it's
I'm
wild.
so proud of you. I am beyond proud of you. And to have experienced it and witnessed it in person is just even next level. So if you guys are ever in the Nashville area, please hit up Makeup Altar at Nashville. And the fact that it is the safe space for LGBTQ plus IA and all walks of life, because that's what you are. You have that light within you. So people are going to come in and trust you, your family-owned business, Nick, Solaris, like everybody. It's so gorgeous. And it's multiple levels. So you have multiple rooms. The bathroom is incredible. And so not only can you get your professional items for pro artistry, but you can also come in and get your cards read for tarot. You can also have a cleansing. You can also have a personal mentorship through the queen herself, Melanie Mills. So, I mean, what a beautiful experience to like witness all that. And again, just so proud of you. I had all these cool questions for my guests when I ask about practices and routines, but we pretty much covered all of it because we just do that. And you are creative and you are spiritual, which are all the things that we talk about. But I do have some what I like to call wrapping up mindful artists rapid cues, and just wherever you are at the top of your head, these rapid questions. You don't have to think about it too hard. Just go ahead and answer it. So, who is your hero and why? Question number one.
Well, I would have to say my Nana, my great grandma,
Yeah.
honestly. She
She's been very present.
she's very present. She's still present. And yeah, for sure. She was married. He was a musician. He cheated on her, left her, then met my great grandfather, who they had a wonderful relationship. He died when my mom was 13, and then my Nana was just done with men after that, didn't want to even bother. And she is literally the reason why every single person in our family has any sort of success. She was a very smart woman. She came from Texas. She sold the land, kept the mineral rights. She was a part of the oil days, so she had the money, but she was smart with the money, and she was smart with the way that she invested in all of her kids and all of her grandkids. Like, for example, Solaris is going to school because of my mom and my great grandma. You know what I mean?
Amazing.
So it's like, and just she was such a strong woman, and she believed in the women. She actually gave a little more to the girls than the guys because she was like, the guys have it so much easier. So, she just really taught me a lot of great ethics, and it's really the women in my family. But yes, number one, her, yes.
Love her. Love grandma. So happy I met her as well. Question number two.
You didn't ever get to meet Nana. She was my great grandma.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Got
She
it, got
passed
it.
when
Okay.
Solaris was six, but we did have five generations up until that point. You met Grandma Gigi.
Yes, Gigi is who's glamorous too. I love
Yes,
her.
and she's
Sorry, I didn't
also
mean to
a huge
confuse that.
role model.
Cool. Okay. Thank you so much for answering that. Yes, she's a beautiful hero. Grateful for her. Question number two. What is your favorite music album of all time and why?
Oh God, this is so hard.
Gotta be one.
Oh.
You know, when you're just feeling it, that's that album you just put on, and it just, for me, it's Ray of Light, Madonna. So I don't know. There's something about
Oh
that. It gets
God.
me.
This is so hard. Okay, so a song that I will pretty much cry and just scream every time I hear it is from the Four Non Blondes. And I'm horrible about names, and this is why this what's your favorite album always stumps me, because
Yeah.
I'm actually sitting here looking at the albums right now in my shop that I rotate all the time, and I know my favorites, but I don't know the name of the damn album. But the song, I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high, like that song from the Four Non Blondes, like is
Yeah,
just
it's a good one.
very empowering,
When
and
she
I
sing when
just
she screams and I say,
Yeah, I just
That's it.
love that song.
It is a
But
great album.
I grab a lot of BB King. I grab a lot of Dizzy Gillespie, jazz and
Very
blues,
cool.
because
Yeah.
that's what I was raised with. My
You got that
grandfather would
old soul.
play his grand piano every single day in the back house. They lived behind my nana. I spent so much time there, and I just always have so much memory of that music. And so that's what I usually pull for, is like Dizzy or BB or Etta James or God, I
Classics.
mean, just yeah, the cloud,
Legends.
yeah.
Legends. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. Last question, wrapping up mindful artists, rapid cues. Question number three. What is your favorite quote of all time?
Carpe diem. Seize the day.
Yes. Preach.
Carpe
Preach.
diem. Seize
Seize the day.
the
I love it. If I had a fan, I would clock it, but that was
day,
beautiful. Oh my God. Melanie Mills, you're a joy. You're a light. You're an inspiration. You're beautiful. In and out. I'm so grateful to know you and call you a sister. Where can we find you? Where can we follow you and support your businesses?
All right, so you've got the Makeup Altar Nashville. That's with ALTAR. That's on Instagram and Facebook. I'm way more of an Instagram girl, though. I'm very active up in stories with like kind of personal and just what's happening, as well as posting. So that is at the Makeup Altar Nashville. Also, the makeupaltar.com is the shop. And then there's Melanie Mills Hollywood, .com, and then on Instagram it's gleam _ Melanie Mills Hollywood. I also do one-on-one education here for the everyday person, whether it's a mature glam, a young client, or like I said, a guy wanting to learn femme. But I also teach beginning makeup artists, and I even still will teach professional makeup artists that are already like have their game going, but just want to learn something new. I do also offer Zoom mentorships. So you can book an hour at 150 or 3 hours for 450. Is that right? Anyway, you save a little money if you do the 3 hours. And I do recommend the 3 hours because we do 1 hour increments, and I always give homework. And this can be on anything. You want to build a makeup brand, you have a brand, you've got questions, you want to transition from a hairdresser to a makeup artist, you're finding yourself in a stump in some sort of career, you want to write a book, anything that I've done and I've done well, I'm here for you to mentor. And so I also offer that as well. And then here at the shop, like you said, tons of things for the community. So if you're in town, check it out for sure.
Incredible. Such an
And
inspiration.
my book is called Glitter and
Yes.
Glam.
No, I love it. See you guys, like, how cool is she? Okay.
Yes.
Artistry number one. Celebrity Emmy Award winner number two. Gleam Melanie Mills Hollywood Face and Body. Such an incredible product. The setting spray is the best. And listen, I'm 20 plus years artist experience as well. Tried them all, tried spray, water, aerosol, all the things, but Hers, hands down, face, body, it will last all day. I'm in humidity. I was Michael Jackson Thriller for Halloween week at Paul Mitchell and teaching for probably like 12 plus hours. I wore that full on prosthetic scar wax, chroma cake, airbrush, and sealed it the heck with the body spray. And it lasted 12 plus hours in the humidity. And
I
the book.
developed it for the humidity because the Gleam creams, the radiances, are a moisturizing base, and we all know what that does in humidity. And so I literally developed it to lock the creams in, especially for body makeup for humidity. So I had no idea. I actually did have it dermatologically tested to make sure it is safe for the face because it is an aerosol. But it is amazing. It is. But thank you.
I love it. And then the book, love the book as well. The brushes and the makeup altar itself. I mean, just an experience. So full experience with Melanie Mills Hollywood, all the things, makeup altar. Follow her, hit her up. And I just want to thank everybody so much for joining us today. I hope you got a lot of insight with my special guest, Melanie Mills. She's amazing. Go out there, do something special for somebody else. And much love and light to you all. Don't forget to follow us at the Mindful Artist Podcast, both on Instagram and all podcast streaming services. Thank you guys. I'll see you at the next show. Bye. Say
Thank
bye,
you,
Melanie.
Andrew. Thank you, everybody.
Love you. Mwah.